What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the Word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's turn there, verse 4 to 5, and then we'll read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4 to 7, 4 to 10. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge. Verse 7 says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Read from verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of wisdom through the same Spirit, to another faith in the same Spirit, to another gift of healings by the same Spirit, to another the word of workings of miracle, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11 says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Say amen to that.
Amen.
So last Sunday we said that you cannot talk about the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit without looking at it from the angle from which Paul addressed the Corinthian church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, Paul began by saying that now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, if you have a Bible like mine, if you have an old King James, you see that the word gifts there is italicized, meaning that in the original translation wasn't there. So originally, you should read that now, concerning spirituals. Now, what Paul was teaching there was not just gifts of the Spirit, because if you look at the whole letter of 1 Corinthians, is that Paul was addressing something and drawing people to a consciousness of how spiritual things operate. Because these were people coming from different backgrounds. Some of them were coming from pagan worship. If you look at when he spoke to them from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and he addressed the issue of communion, there were issues of people going to eat food offered to idols. And Paul was talking to them that, look, the communion table is very spiritual. The communion table is a table of grace. The communion table is not a table that you partake of and at the same time go and partake of tables of devils. That if you do that, you'll be provoking God to jealousy. So what Paul is saying is that this letter I'm writing to you people is, I want to expose you to what? To spirituals. I want to expose you to how spiritual things operate. Because no one will come to church under the influence of God's Spirit and begin to say Jesus is accursed. Now, some people have stretched part of Paul's letter to an extent where they've extinguished the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. Are you getting me? But Paul's letter was not written to extinguish the gifts of the Spirit. It was written to bring order, which we'll be seeing later. So the best word for spiritual there is the word charismata. The word grace. That's why where we read in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you can back up there, verse 4, we saw last week, amen, that Paul said that, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. Now, when go back to verse 4, when Paul uses the word grace here, what he calls the grace of God, the charis of God, he was using it, like I said last week, based on the understanding of the time. He was speaking their language. So it's not like grace in terms of a lady's name or just grace in terms of favor. Are you listening to me? It was not saying, I'm thanking my God because of the favor of God upon you. No. The word translated grace is, of course, it means the same thing, but the mindset with which he writes this letter was the colloquy of their day, where the word grace was understood to be a spiritual endowment from the gods upon people to enable them to do what in their physical, natural ability they will not be able to do. So if we bring it into our everyday street language today, is what we refer to as jazz. I think that's the generally accepted one. You know, so he says, I thank my God always concerning you for the jazz of God. You get it now. Maybe your translation, I don't know what some people call it in your, I don't know what they call, what's the street name for the juju of God upon you? Maybe for some is the okpo, for some is the imbivungu. Are you getting me? But he was just saying that there's an endowment, and I thank my God for the endowment. So he refers to the Holy Spirit as an endowment from God. So based on spiritual gifts, I want you to understand this. Are you with me? That if we are going to define the grace of God, we will define it as the empowering touch of God that enables a person to do things that previously he or she could not do in his or her natural ability. So the grace of God, this is how I want you to read it. I thank my God always concerning you, every member of CFC, for the supernatural ability of God, the jazz of God, are you with me? Given to you by Christ Jesus. So listen now, you don't need to consult mediums. You don't need to go out to look for what you already have. Are you with me? You have something that has superior advantage. Tell your neighbor, you have the grace of God. Now, one of the ways the grace of God is manifested is through the demonstration of the Spirit of God. Did you get that? One of the ways it is demonstrated is through what? One of the ways is through the manifestation of the Spirit. How do you know this person has grace? It's because there are manifestations. This thing that has been given to this person, you can see it in operation. Listen, grace can be seen. It is possible for someone to look at your life as a Christian, and that's how it should be. And they will say, there's more to this man than meets the eye. Are you with me? There is more to this lady than meets the eye. Now, I'm not just talking about us falling under the power in church, which is part of it. But there's a way that the grace of God can be evident in your everyday life, that there's a master stroke to everything you do. Now, when people look at it, they say, I think this guy carries something. And that is how it should be. Remember Nicodemus and Jesus? What took Nicodemus to Jesus? It's because he said to him, there are different teachers, but you are a teacher come from God. No one can do the things you do except God be with him. That is grace. That means he has looked at other people who teach. What happened when this man teaches? There are demonstrations. If you see a man who can bring money out of the mouth of a fish, then he should be your business partner. If you have seen a man who can feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, or 2 fishes and 5 loaves, or 5 fishes and 2 loaves, that man should be your economic minister. Because you'll be able to multiply the resources of your country. Am I talking to someone? So this is what Nicodemus saw and heard. I said, no. Forget the fact that we might criticize you and we might say you're not of God, but you have something. Listen to me. God wants your life to be a life where people say you have something. Amen. I didn't hear you say amen. In Acts chapter 11, let's go to verse 22. When the church was persecuted, the Bible tells us that believers began to scatter around. They were scattered around the provinces. And, they went out preaching, because up until then, they were just enjoying their cozy, warm fellowship. And then persecution arose, and some ran. But I like the way they ran. As they were running, they were preaching. Then, news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, to the headquarter. And they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. Look at verse 23. When he came and he had seen, did you notice? When he came and he had seen the grace of God, he was glad. Now, grace was obvious. It was obvious. Lives are changed. People are transformed. Crowds are gathering. People are increasing. What did he see? He didn't see hard work. He said, this must be grace. He said, I've seen the grace of God. He was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. So grace can be seen in your life. Grace can be seen in your business. Grace can be seen in your marriage. Grace can be seen in whatever you put your hands upon to do. And we are saying that one of the ways that grace is demonstrated is when the Holy Spirit in us begins to what? Manifest himself. And that's what we're talking about, intuitions and what? And premonitions. That the Holy Spirit can help you. John chapter 14. Let's see how Jesus introduced the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit can help you. Now, I sat down thinking and I said, wow, this, come to think about it. Do you know most people who seek the supernatural, actually seek the aid of the supernatural for three main reasons. Either they want to know something you don't know, or they want to be able to say something you can't say, or they want to be able to do something that you can't do. I remember, but somebody told me a story about him. He said that Prof was a man that commanded respect when he spoke. Now, there was a time one of the generators was down because the school used to run on six generators and one was down. And students wanted to demonstrate and lecturers were running. He entered into his car and drove there and met the angry student. They said the moment he came out of his car and asked them, why are you angry? With their clubs and everything, they just melted like wax. Their anger deflated. They were just looking at him. He said, what is the issue? Why do you want to fight? Is it the generator to be fixed? They said, you couldn't resist the words that came out of that man's mouth. So I was discussing it with someone who was an older student there before I came. And he said, look, because the prof is an Igala man. So he was telling me that this prof has something that it's a grace. That it's people get it, it's transferred. That when it's transferred to you, when you speak, people will not be able to resist your words. So anytime Prof talks, that even when they are sitting in Senate meetings and they're deliberating on something and they are arguing, some people will be arguing, the moment he enters and he begins to speak, they will all just go quiet. So the person was telling me that they gave him. When I began to read my Bible, I discovered that God also gave it to us. He says he will give to us the tongue of a learned to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that is one of the major work of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace. John chapter 14, 26. See how Jesus introduced the Holy Spirit and what he said he would do in our lives. The Bible says, but the helper. How did he introduce the Holy Ghost? A helper. So write this down. The Holy Spirit will help you to know things supernaturally. The Holy Spirit helps you to say things supernaturally. And he helps you to do things supernaturally. Are you with me? He says, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. That means with the Holy Ghost, you have an advantage. So what I want us to say is that he is our helper. And one of the ways he helps us is through the manifestations of the gifts of his Spirit. One of the ways he helps us is by the way he manifests himself through us. So we can confidently say that through the manifestation of the gifts of his Spirit, we know things supernaturally. We can say things supernaturally. And we can do things supernaturally. Say amen. Amen. And the good news is that this grace is abundant to us. Tell your neighbor there is abundance of grace. Back to that 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 4. I was sharing this last week. I'm still doing a quick recap. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. I want you to understand where this comes from. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. Verse 5 says now, that you were enriched. Tell anybody you were enriched. In everything. By him. In all utterance. And knowledge. He didn't say the pastors were enriched. He didn't say only the fivefold ministry were enriched. What did he say? You. Put your name. Can we read it together? That Arame. Come on, don't write yourself out. That Arame was enriched in everything by him in all utterance and knowledge. Did you see that? Did you see that? You were enriched. He uses the word where. It's something that has been given. Every believer seated here has a deposit of the Holy Ghost. Every believer here has jars deposited to him or her. You might not know how to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. And listen to me, the Holy Spirit is not dull in operation. That's why, where we read in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, says he has distributed to everyone severally as he wills. Or like one translation puts it, as his manner is. Now, he didn't distribute to some. Everybody's been endowed with the Holy Ghost. Every person is endowed with this grace. So we can all experience this grace. Amen. And we said the word enriched there is from the word plosios, which means to be superabundant beyond count. Where we get the English word plutocrat. I don't think there are too many plutocrats in the world. I don't even know any. But it was said that Solomon, King Solomon in the Bible, was a plutocrat. Because up to today, they are still digging out his wealth. It's believed that Solomon, at some point in time, didn't even know where some of his treasure houses were. Wow. Wow. I'm not talking about this Jeff Bezos. Somebody says he's $200 billion rich. It can be estimated. When you say, this man is so wealthy, they say, how wealthy is he? To be honest, we don't know. That's the word used there. So listen, your mind cannot fathom the deposit of God's Spirit in you. It says you have been enriched. Then it says, enriched in everything. That word there is pantio. And we said that word means what? That panty means what? Every minute thing. You've been enriched for human resources. You've been enriched for catering. The Bible says, as long as it concerns you, there's grace for it. So listen, let me submit to you. The manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit is not for church. It's partly for church. It's a dose of the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit we experience here in church. But the Bible says we have been enriched in everything. That means in our everyday-to-day life, there is an abundant supply of grace for you to function supernaturally. But you know the problem I have most times? We want to function naturally. We want to function in our own ability. We trust our wits more than we trust his power. Say amen.
Amen.
So there's nothing like this one will be church. Everyone is church. Do you know? And look at what he says. He says, in all utterance and all knowledge. No, he didn't say some. All utterance. You can go to give a presentation in your office. You have been enriched in everything through utterance for that presentation. One of our pastors here was talking with me and he said, look, pastor, they've promoted him. It's evident. He even has official car now. You see, when you have official car, you are official. Amen. You must be a very important official to have an official car. Love the testimony he shared with me. He said, look, Pastor, every time I go to talk, every time I'm supposed to do a presentation, because he works with teams and he develops systems. He said, every time I come and I do a presentation, everybody's left wowed. Someone said, wow, the guy must be very he must be a very intelligent person. Mm-mm. It's because he's enriched in everything. In all utterance. Meaning that every time you have to open your mouth and say something, there is power for it. That's why he uses the word utterance and all knowledge. So with the grace of God, there's nothing you can't crack. No, you didn't hear me. From today, if they ask you, can you handle this? Something should rise up in you that says, yes, I can. You might not be able to handle it in the amount of information you have, but there's abundance of grace. You should be able to say, look, I can handle it. They say, who can help us provide a solution to this particular issue? Your hand should be going up. And then you begin to depend upon the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. I didn't hear you say amen.
Amen.
And he never fails. Are you with me now? He never, never fails. That's why Paul said that the Corinthian church was spilling over with what? They were spilling over with grace. They had so much abundance. If they come for service, you will see it happening. If they are having communion, there was an excess of it. Is somebody getting me? They were enjoying so much grace. See, it was not difficult for somebody in the Corinthian church to have a word of knowledge. And this is what makes me laugh. I was thinking about it this morning. Sometimes they couldn't even tell, because of the frequency and abundance with which they operated in this thing, they couldn't even tell when they were in the flesh or they were in the spirit. That's why when Paul... Go back, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me show you something. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be what? Ignorant. Then it says in verse 2, you know that you were Gentiles. That means you are without God. Carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. That means these were people who used to, through demonic influence, know things about people. Now that they are saved, sometimes they don't even know whether it's under the influence of God or under the influence of the former place they are coming from. That's why the next verse, Paul says, no one under the Spirit of God will give a prophetic word that will not lift Jesus up. Because somebody can even meet you and say, I know you have 10,000 naira in your pocket now. Yes, you took it from so-and-so place. You give me 3,000 naira to booze. Are you getting me? And Paul said, that type of manifestation is not emanating from the Spirit. Because any form of manifestation that comes from the Spirit will lift Jesus up. It will not bring anything that will cause the name of Jesus to be accursed. Do you understand now? Glory to God. So I don't want you to think that this thing is in scarce quantity. And before we finish this series of teaching, some of you will discover that you have been operating in it. Because the greater knowledge you have, the greater the frequency of operation. That's why he said in that 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 1, concerning spirituals, I don't want you ignorant. That means knowledge unlocks manifestation. The more you know, the easier to function in it. And then the easier for you to believe God for it. Say amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You know, when it comes to the manifestation of the Spirit, I notice that people like to put a tap on it. And then put some people out. And then say it's just for a select few. No, it's not for a select few. It's not for a select few. Tell anybody, it's for you.
It's for you.
No, tell anybody,
it's for you.
I guess some religious will say, you know, but the Bible says that all things should be done in order. There should be order in the church. Okay, even if there's order in church, in your life, where is only you operating on your business? Which order are you looking for? So let's look at that scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 39. Order is not to restrict the Holy Ghost. Paul says, verse 39. Of course, you can read all the way from 20. Let me tell you what was happening in the church, the Corinthian church. Somebody came and they said, prayer. So can you just have a word of prayer? Just to eat food. Or let's just say opening prayer. for a love feast, and the guy will come up and say, thank you. They knew they had it. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this food. Rapakato zota. Librakato zataya rabaka lebraka. I have a word. And while he's flowing in it, another person from another place, this is prayer to eat. While he's flowing in it, the other person does what? Gets up and says, thus says the Spirit of the Lord. This one is trying to interpret. The other one will start flowing. Paul didn't say they were all wrong. He was saying that there should be order so that it can be a blessing. So he said, when you are prophesying, one person, you should prophesy one after the other. Because don't think that the spirit of a prophet is not subject to a prophet. Because some of them feel that this thing is too much, I can't control it. He said, no, you can be controlled. Some people feel that prophecy is when it comes upon you, you must say it then. You must not say it then. You can control it. So I said, but he was shaking, so he had to say, you can shake all you want. The Bible says the spirit of a prophet is what? Is subject to a prophet. Amen. That's why if you are sitting on a meal, it's not impossible at the table, at dinner table, for you to have a word of knowledge. But it's not also out of place for you to say, excuse me, there's something God just put in my heart. Can I share it now or share it later? And the Holy Spirit will still be present to help you share what you're supposed to share. So what Paul was bringing together was order. So he said, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly. He didn't kill it. Desire earnestly to prophesy. And do not forbid to speak with tongues. Don't forbid it. Glory. You know, the Corinthian church, very interesting church. Maybe you tell somebody to come and lead worship. As he comes up in the course of the worship, this congregational singing, instead of singing a song we can all sing, he'll start singing in the spirit for 15 minutes. They say it's time for him now. Can we sing the hymn? They were just spilling over with it. Paul said, there's order. That's why he said, look, if you come and speak in tongues when you are supposed to be speaking to people in your understanding, how will the unlearned among you be able to say amen? So there are some prayers we don't pray in the Holy Ghost. We speak in our understanding. Amen. So, Pastor Dorcas wants to travel. Can we have a word of prayer? Pastor Steve, can we have a word of prayer? Then we hold hands. Then the next thing Pastor Steve is saying is, Acrobatis Blanca. We will not know when he has started. We will not know when he has finished. So he said, if you must pray with your spirit, which is different from just praying the Holy Ghost, then you must also do what? Pray, you must pray that there should be somebody there that can interpret it. Because it's of use when it has been interpreted. So therefore, desirelessly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak with tongues. So don't say, when you come and say, don't speak in tongues. And that's, he said, no, don't do that. Allow people to speak in tongues. But what he says in verse 4 is that let all things be done how? Decently and in order. You know why? When order comes into spiritual things, it produces greater benefit. Glory to God. So order is necessary. Now, why do we need these manifestations of the Spirit? Why do we need these manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6, quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6. Okay, let's read verse 5, then we'll read verse 6. Is somebody blessed here?
Yes, sir.
He says, that you are enriched in everything by him in all utterance and knowledge. Verse 6 says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed where? In you. Now the word testimony there actually speaks of a witness that is so strong and could stand scrutiny in the court of law. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Without the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit, a believer's faith will only stay in the realm of the senses. It cannot be confirmed. The word confirmed there is to be established, to make firm. The church where I was raised, they forbid speaking in tongues. I don't know whether they ever saw 1 Corinthians 14:39. They forbid it. I will never forget one experience. They were having congregational prayer one Sunday. And as we were praying, people were praying in their understanding. Then this woman, the power of God came upon her. And she burst out speaking in tongues. And an elder just shouted, "Tell her to keep quiet! Keep quiet! Keep quiet!" And you know, she was under God's power and they held her and she was crying. I said that she should never come and scatter this service. She was trying to explain that even her, she doesn't know what. I'm sure the Holy Spirit has been waiting for long to manifest. That day, couldn't wait for their protocol. I'm sure somebody had a need there. The Holy Spirit said, "I have the answer." But who knows what would have happened in that service? Perhaps that would have been the answer to somebody's issue. That would have established the person's faith in the testimony of Christ. That's why those churches don't have Christ testimonies. Healing is a distant thing. Somebody getting what I'm saying? You know, some people, all they do is preach knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. They've not had an experience with the word. I was telling someone that, see, every time I look into God's word, I know the Bible is real. I know the Bible is real. Not because I need, you know, some people feel that, you know, these days all manner of things are coming out. Archaeological proofs that the Bible is real, that the boat of Moses, Noah has been found. See, that is sense root believer. When you bring a sick person and we lay hands and the sickness disappears, when a demon comes and are you getting me, we cast out that demon, you will not doubt what is written in this book. An older woman that attends our church in Boko was telling me that many years ago, she used to, of course, when she comes to church, she would look at me and say, "This young pastor, that she used to like my message. She just used to like my message, you know, until every time she comes to service, I'll have a word of knowledge concerning her." She said, "Wait, who is telling him this about me?" She kept quiet. So she felt that, okay, maybe they used to whisper it to me and then somehow we get to talk about it on stage. Well, she got really close to my family and we're driving out one day. As we're driving out, she was talking. I said, "Look, this is what you are planning to go and do." I said, "And this is how it's going to turn out." She went there, it turned out exactly as I said it. She told the daughter, I said, "That's your pastor. Your pastor. He's a wizard." But you know what it did to her? It established her faith in God's word. So that anytime she sees things in scriptures, she believes that these things are still real today. Some of you, your Christianity is just talk, talk, talk. When there are demonstrations, testimonies will be confirmed. A lady was in church last month, and after the service, you know, the week before, she had booked an appointment, and through her friend, through one of our church members, I said, "Hey, Pastor, can I talk to Pastor Robert?" So I gave them an appointment and they defaulted on the appointment. They didn't come. Some of you do that. All your sins are forgiven. She defaulted on the appointment and didn't come. So she came to church. And the plan was after church, like some of you think that pastors don't do anything. You know, you are done having service. Somebody will still come and meet you. "I like to share something with you. What am I doing now? Am I not sharing something?" They say, "It's very urgent. It's very urgent." So if I tell you no, offended, I want to rest. Are you getting me? In our church in Boko, I don't talk after service. I go straight to my office.
Very soon I'll start going straight to my office here too.
Amen.
So there are days for appointment. Well, that's what this lady was planning to do. So, later in the day, they came to the house. Not really for appointment. I said, Pastor Rome, I had to ask my friend, did you tell Pastor about me? He said, my eyes kept going. Because today I discovered that this thing that they say the Spirit of God used to know things about people and reveal it and solve their problem is very, very true. Guess what happened in that service? I can tell you the service. It was our home cell awareness service. I was sitting here. I had a service note prepared. And as I was coming up, the Spirit of God said, no, you won't teach on this. If you're in church that day, I said it. That is not exactly what God wants me to teach, but this is what I sense God leading my heart to teach. And guess what? That service was ministering and addressing her problem. And her faith was established. Last December, during the gathering, I was having my bath to go for the service. And a name dropped in my heart, Nathaniel. And God gave me a word. So I went on the group chat. I said, who knows any Nathaniel? You know, I have a word. Of course, different people. But a lady now reached out and said, I have a cousin, he's called Nathaniel. You know, I said, okay, send the number. I'd like to talk to the person. I have a word. So when I spoke with the person, I said, thank you, but that is not the person. I said, thank you, but that's not the person. So a few days later, our brother John, now met me and said, sent me a number. I said, I think he's his brother also. So I want you to. And the moment we started talking, I said, this is a person. I said, this is what God said I should tell you as I was dressing up. Never met him. Didn't know him. I just spoke to him on the phone. He said, wow. Wow. And you know, he was just saying amen. He said, look, this is what happened. This is what happened. I said, well, that's what God just told me to tell you. I didn't see him again until I was with Wifi. We went to the hospital. Same way I just put to bed. So we got to the hospital. As I got to the hospital, you know, I just met some, just greeting all the people who were there. As I was leaving, he said, Pastor Rome, there are testimonies. I said, testimonies? He said, yes, there are testimonies. I'll share it. In fact, I'm coming to see you, sir. So John came and said, hey, this is Nathaniel that you spoke a word concerning him. Things just turned around. Now, that was not to establish his faith in a prophet. That was to establish his faith in the testimony of Christ.
Hallelujah.
That means the things we see concerning Christ become realities in our lives as the Holy Spirit manifests through us. Did somebody get it? So if you want to see the Bible come alive, it's not by going to Israel. No, some people say, when I went to Israel, the Bible came alive. The Bible doesn't come alive by going to Israel. Even though every Jew would have been born again, because they are living in the land. The Bible comes alive through the Holy Ghost. Okay. The Bible comes alive through who? The Holy Spirit. Listen, through the Holy Spirit, everything you read in the Bible can become a reality in your life. That's a good place to say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. So what are the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There are nine. There are nine manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. Now write this down to help you. It says, for to one is given the word of what? Wisdom. Through the Spirit to another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Amen. Then it says, to another, faith. Say three. By the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healing. Four. Thank you. By the same Spirit. To another, the workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, descending of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, how many of you took the count? So there are how many? There are nine. Let's go through them. Word of wisdom. Word of knowledge. Are you getting me? Tongues and interpretation of tongues. Prophecy. Are you getting me? Word of wisdom.
Praise God. Gift of faith, gift of healing, and workings of miracles. Now, for the purpose of teaching, we classify them under three broad parts. And you're going to see it. Amen. The first is what we call power gifts. What are power gifts? God's supernatural ability coming upon a man, enabling him to do things that he couldn't do in his natural strength. Did you get that? God's what? Supernatural ability coming upon you. Say amen. Now, one of the things I'm focusing on doing when I teach on the gifts of the Spirit is how you can experience it even in the bathroom. When you are able to fix a car that nobody knows how to go about, or fix an engine, those are workings of miracles. Something you've never seen. You remember the children of Israel went to war and they didn't lift one sword but came back home. Imagine people coming back from war with Rolex. Coming back very rich. Those were the workings of what? Of miracles. Was it in church they experienced workings of miracles? No. It was in their business field. So some of you will stumble into contract and execute them through the power gifts. Do you understand me? Through the gifts of faith. The all faith of God will come upon you to receive things. Amen. You'll be able to pull things. You will carry your whole company through your faith.
Amen.
For some of you, it will be gifts of healings.
Amen.
It's like anytime you see any blind eye, if you pray, it must open.
Amen.
That means God anoints you for particular ailments. There is nobody that is believing God for a child that I pray for. Are you with me? That the baby has not come.
Yes, sir.
And I've been praying like this for many years.
Yes,
Pastor Chibuna is here. Some years ago, I don't know which, me and dates, amen. That was in the estate, right? So that was about 97. Okay, about 97, 98, sometime. I was having a meeting and we're praying and I said, look, if you are barren, I sense the power of God upon me to pray for you. And he came out. I said, I'm not praying for men. I'm praying for women I want to pray for. I said, he's standing in faith for his aunt, who, there were no phones. I said, your aunt will get pregnant and have a baby. Glory to God. And he left there. I think you traveled and met your aunt. And she had been barren for years. The baby came. He was unlocked. That's the gift of healings. I was at camp meeting one year and it was impressed on my heart to pray for barrenness. And I didn't know. Plenty of people came and stood in faith for their loved ones. There were probably over 50-something people standing on that line. I've heard close to 30 testimonies from that night. A spectacular one was a spectacular lady that told me, said, Pastor Arome, the grace of God is real. My aunt has been barren for 20-something years. When I went back, I called her and I told her that, listen to me. The prophet laid hands upon me today and said, we should call, and I'm calling you. You are going to have your baby in 9 months. The woman screamed, hallelujah, and received God's word. Amen. She was close to 50. But she still took in and had a baby. Are you listening to what I'm saying? The power of God is real. Your power of God is real. So power gifts enable us to do things that in our own physical strength we will not be able to do. Remember I said grace is to enable you to do what? To say and to know. So what are the power gifts? The power gifts are the workings of miracles, the gifts of healings, and the gifts of faith. Then the second category is what we call vocal gifts, utterance gifts. Ability to do what? To say things supernaturally. Thank you, Lord. And what are they? One, diverse kinds of tongues. Number two, interpretation of that tongue. And the third one is prophecy. as we round up this teaching, round up this series, some of you will be walking in some of these things.
Amen.
This supernatural tongue will come upon you. You will walk into an office as you are talking. People's hearts will be open to you.
Amen.
This is not rehearsed speech. Something will come upon you. You know what to say.
Amen.
How to say it.
Amen.
When to say it.
Amen.
And listen, when you say these things, they will hear it. They should hear it.
Amen.
That's how the utterance gift works. One of my friends, his wife, went for an interview. She said she had prayed in the Holy Ghost all through the night. And as she came to present her proposal, she couldn't even remember the things that she was supposed to say. But she just opened her mouth and began to talk. She was just talking and talking and talking. And when she was done with her presentation, you know what the people said? They said, this is the most sensible thing we have heard since morning. So she didn't know what she was saying, but God caused their ears to hear it like they ought to hear it. That is a manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. She was not preaching in church. Somebody was speaking concerning Adolf Hitler. I know what they say about Adolf Hitler. They say his voice was like the voice of an orchestra. Do you know Adolf Hitler? People think Adolf Hitler was a very smart, sharp. No. It took more than that. They say he went on the thing. He was on that hill for weeks. His soldiers were waiting for him. As he came down, one of his lieutenants says his face was shining. And he said, from here, we take the whole world. They say, from that day, if Adolf Hitler comes into a place and begins to talk, you would think they are playing rock music. Amen. I'm not political. But every time I look at Bill Clinton speak, wow. You can't resist the word, the charm. Even if what they are saying is against your faith. What they call great speeches has great utterance. Last Sunday, one of our ministers was telling me that of all the speeches that Abraham Lincoln gave, there was a particular speech that nobody recorded. That there's no record of that speech because all the pressmen that the people from the press that gathered, they were wowed by what Abraham Lincoln was saying, and nobody wrote anything. It was after the Did you write something? Do you have any? They said, no, we're just mesmerized. See, it is utterance. And that's what Jesus was saying when he said, when you stand before kings, you will not think of what to say. In that moment, he will give you a tongue. Oh, I wish somebody was receiving this morning. I shared something with someone some months ago. Some years ago. But I was telling the story some months ago. And we have this relation. He's a man of means, but he's very stingy. I'm sure in your family you have such people. If you have any of such, may I see your hand up? He's a very, very stingy. Very stingy. When we say stingy, I mean he's stingy. He loves being stingy. And I didn't know anything about him. So one day I was praying and I had in my heart to share something with him. Not necessarily to even give me cash for it. It was to give me access. So, I called him up and I went to meet with him and I spoke with him. We spoke on the phone. When we're done, he came. And long and short of it, he gave me the money. He said, no need to see that person, that he's here. That he's here and why are we relational? Why are we here? When he gave me the money, everybody was looking at him. So I was wondering why everybody was perplexed. That's why some of these things will happen in your life. You will not even know it's a supernatural at work. When I walked away, my mom said, you don't know who we are talking about. That it's easier for a rock to give you water. Are you getting me?
You know how many they call Armstrong? Are you me? He said, we're just looking. As you were talking to him, the way he was behaving as though something came upon him. I told them. I didn't say, no, nothing. I said, see, this tongue is not normal. Grace has come upon my tongue to speak. Let me see how you will carry this tongue to go and market products and people will not buy it. It's because you are carrying ordinary tongue to go and talk to people. You come and stand and say, you know, this product is very good. Certain in the market. Have you seen the advert on television? That is not what moves. So. One of our brothers here was telling me the other day, he works with real estate. They're into real estate. The firm he works with. And he said, my boss, pastor, my boss, he's not born again, but do you know what he told me? He said, if you have money, except you don't have it, if you have money and I talk to you about my house, you must carry that money and come and buy. He said, and I have watched him. He said, if you don't have, say, we borrow. He said, the guy is so confident. He said, if you open your ear and you allow me to talk to you, you must bring that money and buy the house. This is an unbeliever. But some believers will be saying, oh Lord, touch his heart. As we go out today, Lord, butter my bread. Oh Lord, let him not be angry when I'm talking. Let him not be angry. If he likes, let him be angry. You think Pharaoh was in a good mood when Moses said, let my people go after he lost his son? They've all lost their firstborn. Let me speak Igbo. Plus including... You know, plus including Pharaoh's son. And then in the midst of all this thing, guess what? Moses still has the boldness to come and say, Pharaoh, now, are you ready to let us go? He said, go. You people go. Carry anything you want to go. Go. Was he in a good mood? Some of you are going here looking at the person's face. He said, why did you talk? He wasn't looking happy. When utterance begins to operate, every mood is good. You are seeing dangerous things, so this. Because as you're going into the marketplace and going about your everyday, testing the depths of your understanding. Some believers, somebody comes and says, no, you cannot have that thing. He says, excuse me, sir. We're just joking. Amen. Now, this is not just boldness. See, don't get me wrong. This is not, I'm not talking of you being arrogant and just getting up. Because some places you go and shout, they will beat you. They will beat you in a way you'll be so shocked. I'm talking about the inspiration. I'm talking about grace. Then the third one, the gifts of revelation. Revelative gifts. What are revelative gifts? Word of knowledge, wisdom, and then the discerning of spirits. This is where intuitions and premonitions come in. Some people call it the spirit of seeing and knowing. What I'm saying is not a formula. There's a song you will sing in the market square that they will dance. If you sing that same song another day, they may beat you. Word of knowledge. Being able to tap into God's all knowledge and wisdom. Somebody say, why are you starting here? This is what every believer needs primarily in the marketplace.
your ability to know what others do not know. You know why? The wisdom of God is what is ordained for our glory. I keep saying this and I know you're hearing me. I see you before presidents. I see you before kings. But in that moment, when you come there, you need to know. It's not certificate that lifts people. Ask Jacob. Ask Joseph. If a prisoner becomes a prime minister tomorrow, he has more than just a certificate. He has what? Insight. In that moment, you will just know that this is it. You have premonitions. You will yield to them. Praise God. I had it. This is more than I had a dream. I have a dream. No. I love Joseph. 17 years old, and he already saw his whole life. He already knew exactly what was going to happen. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I told my wife, one day in prayer, God showed me my children, their lives, all of them, and what they'll be doing. Justin was like 1+. He's 3. He'll be 3 next week. So my wife was telling me, said, do you know what you told me that time? He said, he's doing exactly the things you said. I said, no, this one is not school they learn it to. This is not Dr. Spock. This is not Dr. Benjamin. I saw it. He was in prayer. I saw it. So it's not difficult to raise them. It's not difficult to raise them. It's when you don't see, you are struggling to raise children. You are pushing them. You say, this one must be this. This one must be this. Who are you? Who are you to be saying must? Instead of praying, I say, God, what do you want? I say, no. Lord, you will grant me the desires of your heart. The desires of your heart concerning a human life. That's why a lot of you are frustrated. It's your father's desire, mother's desire that has pushed you where you are. No wonder you're not even doing what you read anywhere. Let me speak to somebody. You are not called to fulfill your parents' dreams. Even though you find yourself fighting battles you are not invited to. Some of you are wondering, who among them will preach? Because somebody must preach. I'm not the one that said it. The Bible says ministry is inheritance. God showed me which of my children will hold a microphone like this. All of them will preach the gospel, but on different platforms. But I know the one that is going to hold it like I'm holding it. How do you think Jacob blessed his children? And all of them turned out exactly as he said. Exactly. Some people think the only work of a father is to be flogging children. Come here. Go and do this. You. Come and put this here. No spiritual insight. You don't pray. You don't know anything. Are you getting me? You are spiritually flat. To be beating children up and down. Oh. One morning I was having a very wonderful time with my wife. Those early days we got saved. Play the keyboard for me. Then a joke came into my heart. I heard the Holy Spirit say, don't say it. I said, but it's funny. Don't say it. We will laugh. No, if you have had moments like that with your spouse, if you have as many of it as well, I know some of you hardly have it, amen. Because you have a contract. Well, just everything was funny. Everything was funny. Everything was funny. So she would tell one, we'll laugh. I would tell one, she will laugh. But I really wanted to see this particular one. And then eventually, to be honest, I ignored the Holy Ghost. And I cracked it. The moment I just said it. Because
Physically speaking, I couldn't even place what was wrong with it. The moment I said it, I said, "Roman, you have entered." Someone said, "How did you know?" The laughter was interesting. Okay. I said, "No, this is what I meant." I tried to explain that for over 30 minutes. He said, no, nothing. I understand. I said, "No, you don't understand." He said, "I think I have said I understand." I said, "You don't understand this thing." And needless to say, that's how we rounded up for that day. Why did I tell you this last experience? Because the great, you are enriched for everything, even conversations. I trust somebody was blessed this morning.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard, and we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it, because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.